Very blessed time for us. I just hope RTS doesn't send me a bill.
Thank you, Mark. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 93. Many of you know that I have been associated with Christ Ridge in Fort Mill for many years. I bring greetings from that congregation and really thanks to you as a congregation for your significant help to us during a particular low period of the history of our church. And because of your help, we really are still in existence. And any given Sunday now in that little modular building on Gold Hill Road, it's packed. And we're running out of Sunday school room and not quite sure what the next step should be. The elders are contemplating that, so thank you so much for your help and for God's goodness. Let's give our attention to the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 93 is our text this morning. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old, you are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring, mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for this privilege we have to come into your holy presence. And we thank you for your word which you have given to us to strengthen us, encourage us, even to rebuke us at times. So we pray now that as your word goes forth, your Holy Spirit may attend to the preaching of it. That you would accomplish your work and your purposes today in the lives of your people gathered here in this place. And may Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name we do pray. Amen. Nothing feels firmer to us than the ground upon which we walk. That's even true for people who live on the West Coast. For 99.9% of the time, the ground feels very secure to them. It's only during those few brief moments of an earthquake that the ground does not feel secure to them. I'll never forget getting ready to watch the 1989 World Series between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland Athletics. I think it was game three of that series, that Bay series, and Al Michaels was doing the pregame show. And all of a sudden, the television went blank. Didn't really know what happened, but very soon we did learn what had happened as a 6.9 earthquake hit that area. We heard stories of the stadium shaking, the ground shaking, buildings falling over, and we saw pictures of interstate highways twisted and broken. That earthquake brought chaos into the lives of the people in the Bay Area. The chaos an earthquake brings is very much like the chaos, the uncertainty, the instability that people live with constantly in their lives. There's an old Carole King song that says, I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky come tumbling down. I'm about to lose control down to my very soul. Many times our lives are chaotic. We feel like we're about to lose control down to our very soul. Years ago, Charles Hummel wrote a little booklet entitled The Tyranny of the Urgent. And his basic point in that booklet was that the unimportant things in life so cry out for our attention that we never get around to dealing with the really important things in life. So we become slaves to the tyranny of the urgent, that which is there right in front of us. Sometimes I feel like my email is that way. We could add many more tyrannies in the world in which we live. The tyranny of chance. People live with the fear and the uncertainty of the future, and it paralyzes them and causes them to live very anxious lives. We could talk about the tyranny of change. Change comes so fast to the world that we live in, that the world seems so unstable. The tyranny of terror. Shootings in a church. Shootings in a movie theater. People live with fear. And so we live in a chaotic world. And although our world is much different than the world of the ancient Israelites, they also knew the world and understood the world as a chaotic place. And so the questions we struggle with are the very same questions that they struggled with. Is there any certainty in life? Is there any stability in life? Where can we find something that is permanent in all the chaos that seems to surround us? The chaos, the uncertainty, the instability is represented in Psalm 93 in verses 3 and 4. Let's give our attention for a few minutes to verses 3 and 4. My particular translation reads this: "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." Here the power of these waters is set forth, and the great thunder of these waters. When you hear these verses, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? Maybe you think of the ocean, with its powerful pounding waves, and that strong riptide that can carry a human being out to sea. I think of Niagara Falls. I spent 10 years in Rochester, New York, not that far from Niagara Falls. And if you ever get a chance to visit Niagara Falls, I think this is still the case, but you could go over to the Canadian side of Niagara Falls and you could stand right above where those waters are plunging over the side. And it's an awesome sight. You can hear, you can see, you can feel the power of those waters as they plunge over the side. Maybe you think of floods. My particular translation translates verse 3 with the word floods. Water outside their normal boundaries have tremendous power. 2 inches of flood water can knock a person off their feet. 2 feet of flood water can easily take away a vehicle. And all these associations are good associations. The Bible compares the wicked to the turmoil and the unrest of the sea. Isaiah 57:20. And so these associations are good associations to make. But I wonder if there's something more going on in Psalm 93 than is at first sight apparent to us who are living in the 21st century. It becomes apparent if you put yourself back into the world of the ancient Israelites. In the pagan beliefs of that day, in the beliefs of the nations that surrounded the nation of Israel, they believed that there was this cosmic battle taking place among the gods to see which of the gods would emerge as king of the universe. One of those gods was the sea god. His name was Yam. Yam is the Hebrew word for sea. Yam and the sea monsters battled against Baal for supremacy to see which of the gods would emerge as the victorious god. The title of the sea god, the title of Yam, was Nahor. That's the word that's used in a plural form here in Psalm 93, verse 3, translated floods. You can find references to these ideas in many places of Scripture. If you have your Bibles open, you can turn back to Psalm 89:9. Psalm 89:9, beginning in verse 8. "The Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you." Verse 9. "You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You've crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. In Isaiah 51:9, Rahab, although sometimes Rahab in the Old Testament is used to refer to Egypt, in Isaiah 51:9, Rahab refers to the dragon. These pagan ideas are not referred to in the Bible because there's any truth to these ideas, but there is a war of ideas taking place within the pages of Scripture. There is a polemic going on, and Psalm 93 is asserting that God is more powerful and greater, and He has defeated all of these other false gods that the nations worship. And this is at the heart of Psalm 93, verses 3 and 4. The torrential powers of these waters is a picture of the spiritual forces of wickedness that are in the world in which we live, these chaotic forces. The seas, the floods, have lifted up their pounding waves. The forces of wickedness have asserted their power to claim rule of the universe. But the message of Psalm 93 is that God is mightier than all of these false gods. God is more powerful than the chaotic forces of this world, and that's why Psalm 93 begins with the words, "The Lord reigns." The Lord reigns. So when the powers of chaos seem to be overrunning our world and our lives, we need to hear the message of Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. The Lord and no one else is king of the world in which we live. And so in a world of chaos, there is someone who is in control. In a world of uncertainty, there is someone who knows what is going on in your life, knows what you are struggling with and what you are facing this week. In a world of instability, there is someone who provides permanence. The Lord reigns. Not any of these spiritual forces of wickedness, not any of these false gods, not the chaos of the world in which we live. The Lord reigns, and that's why Psalm 93 says, "The world is established, it shall never be moved." We're secure. An earthquake in California doesn't really affect us much here. And just as the world is established so that it cannot be moved, verse 2 says that God's throne was established from all eternity. He is the living God of this universe, the eternal God, the Creator. And He reigns. He reigns over this world. He reigns over our lives. So what does this mean for us sitting here today? What does it mean that God is more powerful than the chaotic forces of this world? What are the practical implications for the lives of those who proclaim that this God the one that we worship? Just a couple of things I want to point out coming out of Psalm 93. The first one comes out of verse 1. Look at verse 1 again. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as His belt. This verse describes the superior character of God's reign in terms of how He's dressed. Now, we know God doesn't literally have clothes, but this is a picture of the God who reigns over everything. And there's a stress on the superiority of God above all others in His majesty and His power. He is robed. He is clothed in majesty. Kings wear robes. And the wealth and the might of a king is elegantly displayed in the robes that they wear. And our king is presented here as wearing a robe that no other king can match. No other king can match His superior majesty. And it also says, my particular translation says at the end of verse 1, He has put on strength as His belt. Some translations translate this, he's armed with strength or girded with strength. This is a phrase that's used in the Old Testament that means to be dressed to fight. It's used of soldiers, warriors in the Old Testament. Prepared for military battle. And so Psalm 93 is presenting the God that we worship as being dressed to fight, as prepared for battle. We don't have to fight our own battles. He is ready and prepared to fight our battles for us. And because of His superior majesty, we don't have to worry about losing. The victory is ours through the King that we worship. And so part of what we do today is to celebrate the victory that our great King has accomplished for us. And then look at verse 5. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. When you first read verse 5, you may have the thought, what does verse 5 have to do with the rest of this psalm? But there are thematic connections picked up in verse 5. Just as the throne of God is firmly established, just as the world is firmly established, so now we see in verse 5, the decrees of God, the statutes of God, the word of God is also firmly established. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Trustworthy. Are you confused in the chaotic world in which we live? Are you unsure what to believe or how to live? A lot of confusion out there in the world in which we live, isn't there? The Word of God is as sure and reliable as the ground upon which we walk. God has not left us as His people adrift in this confusing world. We have His Word as our sure foundation. And He's called us to be faithful to the truth of His Word. Sad thing is, individual Christians and even churches are being pressured, a lot of pressure, placed on us to change the truth of the Word of God, to adapt it to the culture in which we live. It's sort of like an airplane pilot. I've read accounts of airplane pilots who... plane takes off and they get up into the sky, and because of the environment and the conditions that they find themselves in, they lose all sense of perspective. Maybe there's no horizon. And they lose a sense of what's up and what's down and what's... And they have this very, very, very strong feeling that they must do something to change the way the plane is flying. And yet they look at their instrument panels and everything is fine. The plane is level. It's flying great. But they have this very, very strong feeling that they've got to do something. They've lost their sense of orientation to their environment, and they feel like they must do something. They must change something the way that plane is flying. And if they go against the instrument panels, this is the choice they have to make. Do I follow the instrument panels or do I make these changes based on this feeling? And if they go against the instrument panels, you know what's going to happen. That plane is going to hit the ground sooner than what they want that plane to hit the ground. That's what we're facing in the culture in which we live. Our beliefs are seen by many people as being narrow and bigoted. I mean, that Jesus is the only way? Come on. It's kind of narrow, isn't it? And what we believe about the major moral issues of the day is seen to be hateful and bigoted. And We just need to change. That's the pressure that we feel. We dare not make changes based on our feelings. We're called to stand for the truth of God's Word. And what we must understand is that the very message, the very truth that we proclaim, that message which many people perceive as to be offensive to them, is the message that God uses to change people's lives. I could give you several examples of this. Many of you have probably heard of Rosaria Butterfield. At one time, she was a leftist, liberal, lesbian professor at Syracuse University. And as a part of a research project, she began to read the Bible and also began to have discussions with an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor who lived in the city. And through the power of the truth of God's Word, she was transformed. So much so, this is hard to believe. Today, she's the pastor's wife. The wife of a pastor of a Reformed denomination that does not ordain women and that believes homosexuality is a sin. That's a transformation that can only come about through the power of the Word of God. And she has made this statement. She said, "When I was a leftist lesbian professor, I despised Christians. And then I became one. I became one through the power of the truth of the Word of God. Your decrees are very trustworthy." People may look at the message and the truth of what we proclaim as being offensive, but it's that very message that God uses to transform people's lives. And if we change the message, the truth of the Word of God, we have lost the very power that God has given to us that comes through the truth of His Word. May God keep us faithful. The truth of the Word of God, no matter what our culture may say about us. Your testimonies, your decrees are very trustworthy. But then notice that little phrase, holiness befits your house. The house of God in the Old Testament was a place of God's special presence, and because God's presence was there, that place was set apart from all other places in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and then the temple. In the chaotic world in which we live, God provides a place of holiness, a place set apart for God's people, a place where the forces of this world are held at bay, and we enter into the glorious presence and the worship of the God that we honor, a place where everything pales into insignificance in light of the majesty of the God that we worship. And we enter such a place every time we gather together for worship. Not because this building is something special. We appreciate buildings. They're very functional. We give God praise for the buildings that He has raised up that churches can use. But what makes this place special is that you, God's people, gather together here week in and week out, experiencing the presence of God. And our victorious King has given to us worship as a refuge from the pressures of the world in which we live. Many of you, I'm sure, have watched basketball games. And many times, a coach will call a timeout. There could be many reasons why a coach would call a timeout. Maybe the team is not playing together as a team. Maybe the team is not running the plays that they practiced. Maybe they're not playing as a team where one particular person is sort of playing on his own. So what does the coach? Coach calls a timeout. Maybe the coach wants to stop the momentum of the other team. The coach calls a timeout. He gathers the team together and he reminds them. He reminds them of the plays that they had practiced and that they're to run, that they should play together as a team. He reminds them of the game plan. He reminds them of many things that they need to be reminded of so they can go back out on that basketball floor and implement the game plan. But worship in some ways is like a timeout. We gather together from the busyness of the world in which we inhabit. We come together as God's people. We are reminded again of the God that we worship. We need that reminder, don't we? We are reminded again of the truth of the Word of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are rejuvenated spiritually so that we're able to go back out into the world in which we live as lights to live for the God that we worship. Worship is in many ways a timeout. We come together. We honor the God that we worship. And we are reminded of what He wants us as His people to be about. Pray you take advantage of that privilege that God has given to us. Psalm 93 is a psalm that can shape your life. There's no need to shake in the midst of uncertainty. There's no need to panic in the midst of change. There's no need to be driven by the chaos of the world in which we live. The fact that God reigns should shape the way that you live your life. To live your life with the assurance that someone is in control can transform your life. Psalm 93 is a psalm that stands opposed to all the false ideologies and idolatries of the world in which we live. We're not bound by the gods of the world in which we live, the gods of our culture. Money, pleasure, power. God has broken the hold of those false idols on our lives. The stars and the horoscopes don't control our lives. God has created the stars. They serve His purpose. He is the divine King of creation. We don't cower before some impersonal God of chance or some kind of fate controlling the world. Our God rules the universe. And we are not victims of our circumstances. The Lord reigns. He's working out His purposes for our good. His purposes for our good. And so the message of Psalm 93 is the Lord reigns. It's the Old Testament equivalent to something Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, where he stood on the day of Pentecost and he proclaimed, "He is risen. The one that you crucified is risen and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. This one is the King of the universe. This is the one who's ruling this universe. For the glory of His name and the sake of His people." And He's the one who sent the Holy Spirit to be with us until the end of the age. Let me be very clear with you this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you're lost in a world of chaos without hope of certainty. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're left alone to fight your own battles. You have no certainty of divine help. If you don't know Jesus, you have no hope of victory. Only a sure and terrifying death awaits you. And if you don't know Jesus, you're adrift with no guidance, no place of refuge, tossed to and fro by the winds of the world and the thinking of the world. But brothers and sisters, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, God has fought the battle for you and He has won your victory. And so if you know Jesus, you have hope. Not even death can defeat the one who believes in King Jesus. Do you know Jesus? You have divine help. He will fight for you. He's already fought the greatest battle that we face. The battle against sin and Satan and death. He's won that battle. He will bring us through to the end. If you know Jesus, you have divine guidance in the sure word of God. And if you know Jesus, you have divine refuge in worship. The next time you feel overwhelmed, and it's easy, isn't it, in the day and age in which we live to feel just overwhelmed. The next time you feel overwhelmed by the chaos of the world, remember the message of Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. When you're about to lose control down to your very soul, let the power of the presence of King Jesus shape your life. Be faithful to what Christ has called you to. Looking forward to that great victory celebration that's coming. And there is coming one day a great victory celebration. It won't happen until Christ comes back. But it will take place. And we need that hope, that confirmation that Jesus Christ still reigns in this chaotic world in which we live. And that if we are faithful to His Word, we will fulfill the mission that He has given to us. We can't be stopped. Sometimes it looks like we're losing. We can't be stopped. Because Christ has won the victory for us. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Be faithful. And keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the power of what Christ has accomplished for us. That He looked death in the face. That He bore upon the cross our sin. That He took upon Himself judgment that we deserve. And on the third day He rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and now sits at Your right hand. We give You praise that You have not left us in the hopelessness that the world is engulfed in. But You've opened up our eyes to see the truth of Your Word. Truth found in Jesus Christ. Father, may You use us as lights in the dark world in which we live. May we not be afraid. Speak the truth, but Lord, give us wisdom that we might speak it in love, that we might speak it in a way that will reach a lost and dying world. And yet we realize that ultimately it's not how we speak it. It's the power of Your Spirit opening up dark, dead eyes to see the truth of Your Word. And so may Your Holy Spirit attend to each of us in the daily activities of our lives, that we might look for those opportunities that You would bring across our paths. We give You all the praise and look forward to that day. We will see Jesus. We thank You for Him. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing The Solid Rock. Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen.